Well, as we go into this new series called The Blessed Life, I want us to help an understanding before we even get deep within this series. It's a 3-week series. Is to understand that I'm not preaching the Blessed Life series because the church finances are in disarray. Because one of the things that we're going to talk about in the Blessed Life series is stewardship. We're going to talk about money. I know. Who doesn't love coming to church and hearing about money? Yeah, you guys are like, oh, Lord. But I'm not preaching this series because the church finances are upside down. I'm not preaching this series because the church board asked me to. I'm not preaching this series because I need a raise. Okay, I'm preaching this series because it's like when you go to the store and you get a really great deal, like the deal that's above all deals, that you walk out of the store and you feel good about yourself because you feel like you finally won against the store. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Am I preaching yet? We all here? All right, we're here. All right, here we go. So what do you do when you walk out of the store? You get on the phone. And then how many of you whisper? Because you don't want anybody else to hear, right? You're like, you got to go to the store. You got to go to Nordstrom Rack. I'm serious. They're giving it away. You know, and like you tell other people about it, right? Because you want them to benefit from the same blessing that you received. Well, that's just a little short story to tell you of why I'm preaching this series. I want everyone in this room to know what it looks like to live in the assurance of God's love, God's provision, and God's guidance, especially even for our finances. I've lived this way my whole life. I know other people that have lived this way their whole life. And I can honestly tell you, I don't know how I would live any other way. And those are amening, they're living it too. Come on, right? All right, we're going. You got buckle. Just everybody kind of do one of these. Let's buckle up. Here we go. You know, there's over 500 verses in the Bible that talk about prayer. There's over 500 verses that talk about faith, but there's over 2,000 verses that talk about finances and money. 2,000 verses. Even Jesus talked about it 16 out of his 38 parables. Guess what it was about? It was about money. It was about possessions. 16 of the 38, almost half of all the parables that he taught were about the very thing that we're going to be discussing over the next 3 weeks. Now, as we kind of get going, you're going to say to yourself, well, Pastor, it's easy for you to say, you're not in my shoes. Or you're going to say, you know, it's easy for God to say. I mean, he's just way up there calling down, telling us what we have to do or what we should do. So it's easy for him to do that from way, way far away. Here's one thing. If I don't say anything else, what I'm going to teach you today, I want you to hear the beginning part of this message because it's really, really important. God knows what it means to tithe because God tithed. Okay, now I'm going to work backwards from that statement. Okay, turn with me to Exodus 13. We're going to work through this. And just for time's sake, I'm going to go ahead and go so you all catch up. Exodus 13, verse 2 reads, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Everybody say, "Is mine." Okay, now everybody say, "Is his." There you go. You got it. God here is clearly declaring that the firstborn, as he says, is mine. Now, this isn't the only time that we see this happen in Scripture. 16 other places in the Scripture, God declares that the first of man, beast, of cattle, of whatever it is his. He says, "It is mine." So now scroll down to Exodus 13, 12 and 13. It says, "You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck." That's pleasurable, isn't it? "Redeem every firstborn among your sons." And you say to yourself, okay, now help me understand. What does this have to do with tithing? Well, this morning we're talking about first things first. And it's really how you understand this principle of first fruits. That principle of first fruits helps us to understand what God is asking us to do first. Now, according to the Old Testament law, the firstborn was to be either sacrificed or redeemed. There was no third option, either sacrificed or redeemed. So every time one of your livestock animals delivered the firstborn, you needed to sacrifice it. Or if it was designated unclean, you needed to sacrifice a spotless lamb in order to redeem that animal to make it clean. So sacrifice and redemption. And so just so we're all on the same page, the clean firstborn had to be sacrificed, and the unclean firstborn had to be redeemed. Now, this word redeemed, I have to tell you, because this is really, really important to the story. The word redeemed literally means bought with a price. Redeemed means bought with a price. So think about this in light of the scene. Jesus is coming out of the wilderness and he's going to John the Baptist at the Jordan River. Right? What does John say to him in John 1:29? He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Notice the language. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John, in one sentence, totally described what Jesus' purpose was on earth. To be, one, the Lamb of God. Are your bells and whistles going off yet? Are they going? Are the dashboard lights kind of blinking? Like, y'all, you see where I'm going? Okay, so let's keep going. And then the second thing was to redeem the world, to set them free, the sins of the people. Think about this. Every single one of us, there is not anybody in this room right now that was not born unclean. All of us have been born unclean. Every single one of us. And in order for us to be clean, even if we're going back to the Old Testament law, what has to happen? We have to be redeemed. Okay? So in that, God sends his firstborn. God sends a spotless lamb. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he" what? "Gave his one and only son." His one and only son. His first fruits. God gave his first fruits for the redemption of the world because he knew that we were all born unclean and we still are. So in that, I want you to hear me say this. Jesus was God's tithe. Jesus was God's tithe. He knows what it means to be sacrificial in his giving. Some of us, we just think, well, easy for him to say. He knows what it means to be sacrificial in his giving. When you write the hardest check of your life, when you write that tithe check and you know at the end of the month that it doesn't add up, he knows how you feel because he sent his son to die for us. He sent his tithe for us, his first fruits. And he says, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to send my spotless lamb to redeem the sins of the world." Amen. I've heard preachers say, any firsts given is never lost. And any first not given is always lost. This means that what we give to God, we never lose because God redeems it. He redeems it for us. But when we withhold from God, we will lose. Because God can't redeem. Well, let's think about it in a question. How can God redeem something that's never given to him? How can God redeem that if you never give it to him? You see, the first belongs to God, no matter what it is. And we find this all throughout Scripture. We can give God the first of our time. We can give God the first of our finances. And basically, that's what tithe is. When we break that word tithe down into the Scripture, we look at the original intent of why that word was used. It's not just some word that the church made up. It's biblical. It literally translates a tenth. So whenever you see the word tithe in Scripture, it literally means a tenth. It's the standard by which God brought to the people. It's a standard for all of us to live by, no matter how little or how much we have. It's a tenth. It's firsts. It's the first fruits. You know, the amazing thing about a farmer, when they had to know that they had to sacrifice their firstborn, they wouldn't be able to tell how many lambs that little ewe would have. But the Scripture doesn't say to allow your ewe to have nine lambs and then give me the tenth. The Scripture says, your ewe, when it has a lamb, you are to sacrifice it. See, because tithing isn't just an exercise in obedience. It's also an exercise of trust and in faith. That farmer had to trust. That farmer had to have faith that that ewe was going to produce more than one. But even if it didn't, that first one was going to be sacrificed because that's what God asked us to do. It's the firsts. It's not going through your finances, recognizing what you have left, and then going, "Whew, I've got enough to tithe this month." That is not the way this works, folks. When I look in the Scripture, it tells me the way we're supposed to do this. So when I go over and I look at Exodus 23, Exodus 23, I look at verse 19. It says, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Right? I don't make this stuff up. It's scripture. It says the first of the first fruits. Now, maybe Moses is being a little redundant. I doubt it. I think that God wants to be clear. I think God wants to be strategically clear and very specifically clear with the first and what that means. It's the first of the first fruits. You can't get more first than that. It'd be like the first of the first fruits and the first of the first first. You know what I mean? Like, how do you say that? It says the first of the fruit, first fruits. And then what does it say that we're supposed to do with it? You shall bring it into the house of the Lord. Bring it into the house of the Lord. You know, it's amazing because when we look at that, it doesn't say to give our tithe to television ministries. It doesn't say to bring our tithe to special offering. It doesn't even say to give our tithe to Faith Promise. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say to give it to good causes. It doesn't say that we should change and decide where we manipulate our tithe and where we're going to give it. Because since when do you get to tell God what to do with what's His? These are all great things. Don't get me wrong. They're all really great things. But if you want to give to those areas of your life, if you give to things that you feel that you need to give to, that's called offering. That's called offering. It's above and beyond your tithe. Now, I want you to hear the language that's used here. You bring your tithe. You give an offering. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Y'all need to raise the amen level a little bit. You bring your tithe. You give an offering. You say, Pastor, what's the difference? Well, Malachi 3:10 tells us the difference. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. 2 Chronicles 31:5 in the New King James Version says, as soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel, what'd they do? Say it. Brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine and oil and honey and all of the produce of the field. And they in abundantly the tithe of everything. You see, Scripture is very clear. It never uses the word give when it's talking about tithe. Never. You will never see in the Scripture the word give. It will always be brought, bring. It will always be that language. But do you want to know why? Because here it is. You can't give what's not yours. You can't give what's not yours. That'd be like Darren and Jen coming to Kaylee and I and saying, you know, hey, well, you know, you guys are going to be out of town. So can we borrow your car? Yeah, sure. Not a problem. You know, so we give them our car and we say, hey, just do us a favor. When we come back from vacation, just pick us up from the airport. They're generous. They do that. So when they come back and they pick us up and we get in the car from the airport, Darren looks at me and he says, Pastor, Jen and I, we've been thinking about this. We've been praying about it. This is something that's really important to us. We'd like to give you this car. Darren, it's my car. Yeah, I know, he says, I know. Just consider it a gift from God. You know? Because you see, the thing is, Darren can't give me what's mine. I own the car. The only thing that Darren can do in that moment is bring me my car back. Because are you following what I'm saying here? God doesn't say, give me your tithe. He says, bring me what's mine. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 5 minutes, for 50 years, or for 500. When you get to the place where you realize that everything that's been given is a gift, you realize that the first of all of that is His. It's His. And I'm telling you right now, I've lived this. I have watched God do incredible things. When I was in working at Olivet, just out of college, I was making less than $24,000 a year. And I was newly married. My wife still had 2 years of college left. She was a junior in college when we got married. So we're young and dumb. And we've got, now we have to pay rent. We have to pay for a car payment. We have to pay health insurance. We have to pay for my student loan. We had to pay for all these things. And it wasn't like we were frivolously living. Trust me, I suffered without ESPN for like a year and a half. Like, there were times that we got the rabbit ears out, right? And I'm like doing one of these, you know what I mean? Just trying to get the, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you know, the amazing thing was we came up with a plan. We thought, okay, so we gotta plan ahead here, right? Because on paper, it didn't make sense. We never had enough, ever. So the plan was, we tithed. It was never a discussion. It was never just something that we thought, oh, we're going to do this in order to be able to get at the end. It wasn't that. We tithe because we don't want to be what Malachi 3:10 says, or Malachi chapter 3, where it says, you've robbed God. I didn't want to be considered a robber of God. So we tithe. And I remember the head of the finance committee at First Church actually looked over our budget once, and he goes, I says, I don't know how you guys do it. And he goes, but I do know how you do it. And I said, yeah, I know how we do it too. Because it was an incredible opportunity. It was an incredible opportunity to see week after week and month after month and year after year, God provided. You know why? Because I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. And I'm not sharing this as a way to say, you know, either you do or you don't, or to make you feel guilty or make you feel bad. That's not this at all. And the whole point of the fact is, you know, the church doesn't need it. Church doesn't need your money. Yeah, I said it. You know, Brian Tuxhorn's like. But the truth is, we received an offering here at this church that blew my mind. It was about a month after I started here. I drove into the church parking lot and I got out of my car. I was literally speechless. I could not talk because I felt God's call on my heart to say, you've got to trust me. You've got to give it back to me. I provided this. And so I remember, and Michelle will tell you, I walked into the office and she goes, are you okay? And I said, I need a minute. I need a minute. And I walked right out back outside and I started to walk around the building. And I was doing a Jericho march. And I was giving it back to God because I knew that He provided. I got right over here in this side yard and I was looking back this way. Looking, and the sun was just right behind the steeple. And I distinctly heard God say, Steve, you or the people of this church will never be able to provide for the church. It will always come from me. But I will do it through you and the people. That's what it's about. It's about recognizing that He is faithful. That I would much rather live with I want to make sure I get this right. With 90% blessed versus 100% cursed. Because that's the difference. I'd rather live with 90% blessed than 100% of my finances cursed. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Read this. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how did we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Here's that word. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Come on. Come on. This is the only place in Scripture where God gives us permission to test Him. You know, you thought you were a rebel, right? You thought that you were all like, I'm going to go after God, I'm going to get Him, kind of a thing. Here's your chance. Test Him. Test Him in this. See that He doesn't open the floodgates. Now, hear me say this. I'm not preaching prosperity gospel here. Let's go on the record. I'm not preaching some message where, you know, if you buy this book for $19.95, you know, which you've already paid for and whatever it is, you know, we'll give you this free book. Well, okay, free, whatever. And then the tagline to that is, and you will be blessed. That's malarkey. That's malarkey. You know, blessed doesn't mean monetary. Malcolm said it this morning. He said he goes to Haiti and he says these people have nothing, yet they are more filled with joy than any of the people they experience here. Well, I mean, I kind of paraphrased a little bit. Because the blessed life, blessing is not just monetary. It's allowing God to do great and incredible things through you, through every part of you. I don't want to create 80% Christians, right? I don't want you to get 80% of your Christianity right and get the 20%, maybe I should have said 10, you know, because since we're on 10th and tithe and, you know. Because it's the whole thing. It's the whole thing. It's trusting Him. It's at the beginning of the month. It's at the time that you get paid and taking it right away and saying, God, I give you my firsts. I give you the first 10%. And I pray, Lord, that you will redeem the other 90. That's what it's about. So as I wrap up this morning, I want to tell you that, again, I'm not preaching this message because we're trying to drum up some finances. I'm preaching this because I have seen it. I have experienced it. I have lived it. I have studied it. I have poured over it. I have seen it happen in your lives. I have seen the miracles happen time and time again of those who honor God first and the first fruits. That's why. And it's important. And it's important because it'll change your life. It'll change your perspective. In fact, I want to tell you this. I believe in this so much that I'm going to put out another challenge to you. If you tithe to Trinity for 3 months, so 90 days, we'll call it the 90-day challenge. If you begin tithing for 3 months, 90 days, and you don't see that God provides for you in that time, then at the end of that time, we'll give you your money back, 100%. 100%. And you ask, well, Pastor, do you have permission for that? I would not stand up here if I didn't have permission for that. But that's how much we believe in this. The church board is behind me 100% too. Because it's not, again, what we want is for people to experience the joy of giving. More importantly, we want people to experience the joy of living. Because so many times our finances make us depressed. Our finances make us miserable. Our finances create strife in our home. Our finances create arguments between husband and wife. Our finances stress out our children. All of these things. Now, I'm not going to say it's some miracle drug that you can take and all of a sudden all that goes away. But I am telling you this. When you give God the first of your firsts and you trust in Him and you sacrifice on that altar and say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm trusting in You. You will see incredible things happen around you that you would just go, holy smokes. And we want to be able to share those stories with you as well. And hear your stories. So as we close this morning, would you stand? And just join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we've been challenged, not by the pastor this morning, but we've been challenged by Your Word this morning. Lord, I want so diligently for everyone to know that this is not about me. This is not about Trinity. This is about them and You. It's about us and You. Lord, it's about me continually being faithful. Lord, it's recognizing that there are situations around us that are devastating to our finances. But Lord, You've promised that You will never leave us, nor will You forsake us. And I'm believing that this morning. And so, Lord, I pray specifically for all of us here that we would maybe just desire to learn and know more about what this means, what this looks like. And Lord, I just pray that as we go from this place, that these words wouldn't just fall short, but they would fall directly to our hearts. That we would be listening to what it is You have for us. The call to action that You want us to do. So, Lord, as we go, we give you honor and we give you praise for these things. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Don't forget to grab crisis care kits on the way out. And thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next week.